We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them on the shore. They will bring us exploitation. We'll bring them their class war. And we'll lock down to the gates as they're spreading vicious lies. They want to dominate the world, and we see through their disguise. If they'd have one big multinational with their corporate flag unfurled, searching everywhere for the lowest wages in the world, then we'll have one big union from Melbourne to Prague to Seattle Town. Wherever they may go, we will shut them down. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. Got the chorus yet? That's it. That's it. And CNN will spread the lies. This is just how it's gotta be. Well, they can have their CNN, 'cause we've got our IMC. And we'll tell the truth quite clearly, though they don't wanna hear it. And they'll try to stop our broadcasts, 'cause the truth is that they fear it. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. They'd have a world full of strip malls, plants grown by biotech. As long as they get richer, they just don't give a heck. But we don't want their ego side. We want a world we can live in. That's why we're here to stay, and we're not gonna give in. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. Sounding good. And they will infiltrate us, provocateurs within our ranks. And if they can't divide us, they'll send the planes and tanks. But we will stand together, pacifists and Zapatistas, workers, farmers, the indigenous, tree huggers and baristas. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. What are we gonna do? We will shut them down. And we will build a new world without the corporate elite. And we will see the day of their international defeat. We'll have self-determination and equality for all. For what choice do we really have but to rise up and see them fall? We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. One more time. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis, Sacramento, and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. Today's program is Who is to Blame for the Financial Crisis, Washington or Wall Street? The financial crisis is also known as the Great Recession of 2008. Remember the rescue of investment bank Bear Stearns in March 2008 and the failure of Lehman Brothers in September 2008. According to the U.S. National Bureau of Economic Research, the U.S. recession began in the United States in December 2008. And ended in June 2009, and thus spanned over 18 months. According to a study of 54 countries, there's been an increase in suicide deaths as a result of the recession. The study cites that there were an estimated 5,000 additional deaths resulting from suicide in the year 2009 alone.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Intelligence Squared U.S. debate. I'm John Donvan, your host, and I will also be moderating as the debaters you see sharing the stage here with me at the Caspary Auditorium at the Rockefeller University in New York City. Three against three will be debating this motion, blame Washington more than Wall Street for the financial crisis. This debate is not a panel discussion or a seminar. It is a contest of ideas and logic and wit, but most of all, persuasion, because by the time this debate concludes, you, the audience, will have voted twice, both before the debate and again afterward. Your vote is to side with or against our teams on the stage and their position. At the end of the debate, the team that has changed most minds over the course of the debate will be declared the winner. But now, round one, opening statements. Our first debater, Neil Ferguson of Harvard University. He is an economic historian, which means he is an explainer. And his most recent book, The Ascent of Money, begins in its early chapters explaining money with such eloquence that a third grader could understand it. By the end of the book, Neil, you've taken on the mess we're in now. And I don't know if anyone really understands that. Neil Ferguson.
Nothing would be easier than to blame everything on the bankers. Not only were the bankers greedy, they were also incompetent. But I and my colleagues are not here to praise them. We blame them for much of what has gone wrong. It's just that we blame the politicians more. What I want to do in the brief time I have available is to invite you to consider the roles played by four institutions in bringing about this financial crisis, and I also want you to reflect on the location of those institutions. The first is the Federal Reserve Board. Its role has been to allow a housing bubble to inflate and burst. Between January of 2001 and June of 2003, the Fed cut its federal funds rate from 6.5% to 1%. Then over 3 years, it very gradually, by quarter points, raised rates up to 5.25%. In that time, ladies and gentlemen, house price inflation in this country rose from 7% a year to 17% a year. This was the period when Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Fed, proclaimed the advent of a great moderation in economic life. The location of the Federal Reserve Board, Constitution Avenue, Washington, D.C. The second institution that I'd like to draw your attention to is the Securities and Exchange Commission, which under Christopher Cox allowed the leverage in the banking system to spiral out of all control. And that was a conscious decision by the SEC. The location, number 100 F Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. My third prime suspect is Congress. Yes, Congress, because it was Congress that wholly failed to supervise Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. On the eve of their destruction, Fannie and Freddie had core capital, as defined by their regulator, of $83 billion and supported around $5.2 trillion of debt and guarantees. In other words, they were leveraged 65 to 1. The location of the Congress, I'm sure you're aware of this, but I can't help but point it out, is Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C. And that brings me to another nearby location, the location of the White House. We want everybody in America to own their own home, declared President George W. Bush in October of 2002. He challenged lenders to create 5.5 million new minority homeowners by the end of the decade. No presidential pressure, no subprime debacle. The address at the White House, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. Well, ladies and gentlemen, bankers are nearly always actuated by greed, so, I'm sad to say, are many ordinary people too. But it's the role of government to strike a balance between market forces and stability. And I move in conclusion that we should blame Washington more than Wall Street for this crisis.
Thank you, Neil Ferguson, arguing for the motion. Now to argue against the motion, I'd like to introduce Alex Berenson. Alex Berenson is a reporter for the New York Times who has covered a wide range of stories and issues. He's been to Iraq, but he's most known and most relevant in this debate for his investigative work on Wall Street. And Alex, you are a novelist as well, I should point out. I don't know if you could make up the situation we're in now. But here's Alex Berenson to argue against the motion, blame Washington more than Wall Street for the financial crisis.
The resolution doesn't say we need more regulation going forward. I don't think anyone on this panel, anyone in this room would disagree with that. And the resolution doesn't say that bankers should all be put on a desert island and forced to make their own society. You know, I guess that's the Hamptons, but what the resolution says is blame Washington more than Wall Street for the financial crisis. And that is flat wrong. And to understand why, like Neil, I want to take you back to the Depression and to the creation of the SEC. Now, the Depression was the last time that there was this kind of public anger at Wall Street and at big business in the United States, and understandably so. And when the Roosevelt administration created the SEC, one of the things that they considered doing was having the SEC have the power to prevent companies from selling shares, not because they were committing fraud or misrepresenting their financial statements, but simply because the SEC's economic experts would find, well, this company doesn't have very good prospects. And that idea didn't go very far. It was very rapidly rejected, but it was considered. But why I think this is so important and interesting is it shows that even during the Depression, even during a time when unemployment was 25% and there were breadlines and there was really a question about whether capitalism could work, and there was an alternative model that seemed to be working in the Soviet Union, even then the United States went with a relatively permissive regulatory regime. And that's always been our history. And to me, that makes sense. Think about the commercial airline industry in the United States, which is really a great success story in the most important way, which is that it's extremely safe. That I don't think that's because the FAA is a better regulator than the FDA or the SEC or anyone else. I think it's because there's a commitment in the airline industry to safety. Now, whether they define that as a moral issue, we need to protect our passengers and our workers, or whether it's a practical issue where they believe that there might be economic repercussions, people might not want to fly if there were too many crashes, I don't know. Compare that to Wall Street, which appears to have been run by a bunch of greedy children. And greed is a crucial word there, because although Neil he mentioned the compensation and then skated past it, compensation is a crucial, crucial part. When you can make $1 million or $10 million or in some cases $100 million for a year's work, you don't have very much incentive to run your business for the long term. Now, did Washington create the conditions that allow that to happen? Sure. Could we and should we have had a much more robust regulatory system? Absolutely. But in the end, you have to put blame where blame is due. Blame is due on the firms. It's due on the owners. It's due on the managers. It's due on the executives. It's due on the employees. Blame accrues to Wall Street, not Washington. Please keep that in mind and vote against this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex Berenson, speaking against the motion.
Hear great speeches and interviews at AXA Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
What have you done? What have you done this time, thief of our country? What have you done? You lied so our nation went to war. You lost us our allies, and what for? How many have died? How many more? What have you done? You sold off our radio waves today. You sold off our overtime pay. You sold off our nation's parks, they say, till nothing was left to sell away. What have you done? What have you done this time, thief of our country? What have you done? You cut AmeriCorps and Medicare. Education, that's not fair. Reproductive healthcare funds, ergonomic protections, books for children of the poor, stem cell research to find a cure, unemployment benefits, but you cut the taxes of the rich. What have you done? What have you done this time, thief of our country? What have you done? You hide the reports on the 11th of September. You hide the reports on global warming weather. You hide the reports on the deficit you made. And you hide reports on layoffs and government aid. And reports on the NASA shuttle crash. And reports on Enron's hidden cash. And every record of your rule is going to be hidden, 'cause you are no fool. What have you done? What have you done this time, thief of our country? What have you done? You won't sign a germ warfare treaty, sign the ABM treaty.
treaty, signed the Kyoto Treaty. How'd our nation get so greedy? Let the crowd loot Iraqi treasures. Halliburton take drastic measures. Multinational corporations own you and your machinations. You say that it's an orange alert that people like us might get hurt, but security money still out of reach. It's time we voted to impeach. What have you done? What have you done this time, thief of our country? What have you done? What have you done? Your election was never won. What have you done? You are not just a fortunate son. What have you done? We're gonna get you on the run. What have you done?
And now, back to who is to blame for the financial crisis, Washington or Wall Street?
Now to speak for the motion, blame Washington more than Wall Street for the financial crisis, I'd like to introduce John Gordon Steele, a man who is a little bit difficult to pin down. He is an adventurer. He has spent time in politics. He's been a filmmaker. He has been an NPR commentator and still is, but it's as an author of books focusing on critical periods in American financial history that he comes to us today with expertise to argue for the motion, blame Washington more than Wall Street for the financial crisis. John Steele Gordon.
I'm here to argue that Washington is more at fault than Wall Street, although, as everybody has admitted, Wall Street has plenty of blame to take here. But Wall Street is not unitary. Now, some of the people who are encompassed by the term Wall Street have fiduciary obligations to their stockholders or to their depositors, but the majority of Wall Streeters do not. Washington, on the other hand, has nothing but fiduciaries. I mean, that's why governments are instituted among men. Being individuals, and Wall Street is nothing but a collection of individuals, not an institution, it is inherently susceptible to the madness of crowds. So blaming Wall Street is like blaming the atmosphere for thunderstorms. It's the nature of the beast. It's going to happen. Washington, on the other hand, is supposed to be the guys with the striped shirts and the whistles on the playing field. They make up the rules, and then they enforce them. And then they sometimes change the rules in order to accommodate some of their friends. Also, Alan Greenspan famously said that it is part of the Federal Reserve's job is to take away the punch bowl when the party really gets going. In other words, it's Washington's job to prevent the crowd from going mad. They've just done an incredibly lousy job. I mean, for one thing, the regulatory apparatus is a total shambles. I mean, we have the Federal Reserve. We have the Comptroller of the Currency. We have the SEC. We have the Office of Thrift Supervision. We have the FDIC. We have the banking regulatory authorities of the 50 states. All of them bureaucracies, all of them devoted, as all bureaucrats are, to protecting turf, far and ahead of actually regulating anything. Now, also, politicians are subject to human nature the same as Wall Street are. If Wall Streeters are in the business of making money, politicians are in the re-election business. That means that they're going to be short-term oriented. What they want is the good headline tomorrow morning, and if that produces dreadful policy 2 or 3 or 5 years out, that's after the election. We'll worry about it then.
We are halfway through our opening remarks. I'm your moderator, John Donvan. We are hearing from two teams of three debaters, each arguing this motion, blame Washington more than Wall Street for the financial crisis. We are now going to hear for the next debater against the motion. Jim Chanos is the founder and managing partner of Kikinos Associates. He has had a successful period, let us say, because he is a man who bets against the market. Recently, a very successful period. I don't know, Jim, in this situation, our congratulations in order, but I welcome you to our debate. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Chanos.
We all seem to be missing sight of the resolution. Again, no one seems to disagree that more regulation is needed. No one seems to disagree that crimes, malfeasance, and incompetence were at work. The question is, who's more to blame? And I hope to be able to make my point that, in fact, that's going to be pretty easy to point out. In 1998, Business Week put out a survey after canvassing 500 of the S&P 500 chief financial officers anonymously. And they were asked in the celebrated question, how many of you have ever been asked by your superior to materially falsify financial results? 45% said they were asked to do so but didn't. 12% said they were asked to do so and did. and 33% said they were never asked. So at the time, 10 years ago, two-thirds of our nation's largest CFOs had basically been asked to cook the books. Unless you think this was an outlier, the same survey, roughly, was repeated by CFO Magazine 6 months later and had very, very similar results. How did we get, in the last 5 years, from Enron, Tyco, and rogue analysts to the world of Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, AIG, Bernie Madoff, and Stanford Financial? I think the reason we have is that those in charge, yes, they may have done dereliction of duty, but we saw a level of compensation and a new structure of structured finance that allowed undreamed of amounts of leverage and skewed incentives for compensation. It was heads I win, tails my shareholders lose. Every trading desk had a mantra of making their numbers in one way, shape, form, or another, and did so quite easily in all kinds of markets in the last 5 to 10 years, up, down, whatever. It was not just Madoff who produced stunningly consistent and profitable results. Many of these firms returned 20 to 30% on equity, quarter in, quarter out, with very little variability of operations. How did that happen? Well, they were gaming the system. And while we're at it, let's talk about Professor Ferguson's locus of problems. Well, the Fed, yeah, the Fed's located in Washington. There's no doubt about that. But the part of the Fed that is instructed to be the market cop is the New York Fed. Now, the New York Fed for the past few years was run by our current Treasury Secretary. But do you know who sits on the board of the New York Fed? And do you know who it answers to? The largest commercial banks in the United States.
Jim Chanos, I have to cut you off. Your time is up. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Chanos. Now to argue for the motion, blame Washington more than Wall Street for the financial crisis, I'd like to introduce Nouriel Roubini, known, I think we all know, as Dr. Doom, having predicted much of what has happened a few years back. Having a name like that only really works out if you turn out to be correct. So far, so good, Dr. Doom. Ladies and gentlemen, Nouriel Roubini.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll say at the beginning, I support the proposition and blame more Washington than Wall Street for this financial crisis. But I should say at the beginning that I do agree that Wall Streeters, bankers, traders, investors are greedy. Sometimes they are stupid. They are arrogant. They are incompetent. They take too much risk. They take too much leverage. But we've had the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And we have to ask ourselves, are bankers and investors more greedy and more immoral than they were 20 years ago? 20 years ago, Gordon Gekko in Wall Street said that greed is good. I don't think that's changed. You know, we know that there is always greed. Actually, greed in some sense is good. But we know that greed has to be controlled by three things: by fear of losses, by the fact that it should not expect it to be bailed out, and by system of prudential regulation and supervision of the financial system, because financial markets without rules and institutions are like the law of the jungle. The Fed and Greenspan, after the last tech bubble went bust, cut interest rates almost to zero, and created this asset bubble, kept interest rates too low for too long. As well as pointed out, the job of the Fed is to take away the punch bowl when the party gets going, but unfortunately, not only the Fed did not take away the punch bowl, it added vodka, whiskey, gin, and every toxic stuff to it, and it made the bubble even bigger. Take the role of the Fed and the regulators with subprime mortgages. Greenspan was the biggest cheerleader of this kind of financial innovation. Think about our public policy towards housing and mortgages, the Community Reinvestment Act, creation of Fannie and Freddie subsidized housing, the 20 ways in which we have subsidized through tax policy, interest deductibility of mortgages, the worst and the most unproductive form of investment in housing. That has led to the bubble as well. There was an ideology for the last decade in Washington that was critical to this financial crisis. It was an ideology of laissez-faire. The base of this ideology were the idea that banks and financial institutions will self-regulate. And as we know, self-regulation means no regulation. It was relying on rating agencies that had massive conflicts of interest because of being paid by those who were supposed to be rating. So every element of our regulatory system has failed even before it was implemented. The ideology of Greenspan was every financial innovation is great. Market self-regulate. Elements of it, actions were taken. At the repeal of Glass-Steagall that separated investment banking from commercial banking. Those were the policies that led them to those excesses. So it was a massive failure of public policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Nouriel Roubini.
All the leaves are green.
All the leaves are green.
And the sky's not gray.
And the sky's not gray.
Bring the preacher and the rice.
It's our wedding day.
We would just be dreaming
if we weren't in L.A.
If we weren't in L.A.
California gay men. Stopped into a church and said, now we are gay.
Yeah, we got down on our knees,
and we began to pray.
Something that way.
Since we both are wedding planners,
what's the odds?
We planned it right away.
Planned it right away.
California gay men.
California gay men.
Our fairy tales today. Do you promise to love, honor, and be fabulous to each other? Do you promise to share the PT Cruiser and never let your abs lose definition? And do both of you promise that your divorce from Liza Minnelli is final? Then I am pleased to announce you as man and governor of New Jersey. California gay man!
California gay man!
We'll have a wedding day!
Walking down the aisle
to YMCA!
And now for something completely different.